Friends, grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. So as we enter into this series, What's in a Name? I think it's important to recognize, you know, just what is in a name, and I think it's important to recognize we don't always recognize the power that names have. That is, I think, until they go wrong. That's hopefully just an urban legend with little truth, but there were claims that the Chevy Nova, right there, sold poorly in Spanish-speaking countries. Have you heard this? Just urban legend, I hope, sold poorly in Spanish-speaking countries because in Spanish, Nova means no-go. What's in a name? Well, it would come to no surprise to, it came to no surprise to Italians when Schweppes tonic water sent out an ad campaign and accidentally translated the name into Schweppes toilet water. What's in a name? It's not just limited to products. Sometimes people's names don't quite have the impression that they want their followers to have of them. Marion Morrison doesn't sound all that masculine, does it? But an agent suggested sometime later a particular tough guy actor take on the name John Wayne, and the rest, as they say, is history. Or for those of you who maybe want a more contemporary figure, Peter Jean Hernandez doesn't sound like a rock star, does he? But this guy, Bruno Mars, took on a new name. Now you're talking to the moon. Some of you see what I just did there. What's in a name? Names are important. Your name tells a story about you, like we heard here at Kids in Christ time. Your first name might say something about who your parents thought that you were or would become, or it was a great name that they had in their hearts for you. And your last name connects you to a past, a story that is greater than yourself, a story that goes far back, many generations, whether through your own relatives or through adoption or through marriage. Well, as we're talking about names, today we hear the second creation story in the Bible. And if you didn't know already that there are two creation stories, you really should look it up. It's the very first two chapters of the entire Bible. You just got to open up to the first page and read chapter one, and then you'll notice that there's another story, chapter two. Last year at this time, we got to hear the first creation story, and so now we're hearing the second. The first is probably, for many people, maybe the more well-known of the two, the one that is clearly laid out in 7 days, the one where God speaks a word and a different part of creation just comes to being through the power of God's word. And each and every day, God looks out on it and God saw that it was, what? Good. Well, the second creation story is what we heard today. And in this story, there's less order, there's less detail. We don't hear about each and every day. We don't hear about every part of creation being made. But in this story of creation, we hear, I think, one of the key verses, verse 7. Then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. See, in this second story, I think the details of the creation are sort of just a given. Imagine with this second story, we're sitting around a campfire and Grandpa's telling a story to us. He's not worried about the details. He's worried about telling you a story with depth that helps you understand something deeper than exactly what the words are saying. What is important here in this verse is that we have a God who breathes life into creation and then seeks to form relationship with all of it. And we learn something of that relationship in the names throughout the story, and we'll continue to find this out for the next several weeks as we hear the importance of so many names. It's not immediately obvious in most English translations, unless you're using a study Bible and can look in the notes below, but there is a special name given here in this verse that you see up there on the screen. When the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. This word for man isn't just any ordinary word that is translated throughout as man. This word for man isn't an anonymous description. Here in this verse, and then throughout the rest of this story until the very last verse of our reading for today, here in this verse, we have not just a word, but when you see that word man, the word in Hebrew is actually Adam. Adam. Maybe you've heard that name. We have a few Adams here in our midst. And Adam isn't just any given name, but it is a special name that carries a deep personal identity. Something about the relationship that humanity has with God. And Adam literally means made from the earth. Or perhaps earth creature, or there are different ways to translate it. Now, I know you may get a kick out of telling, you know, make, you know, giving your friends a rib, you know, about who are named Adam, and, you know, you're an earth creature. But this is such an important name in the creation story that tells us about this relationship that God wants to have with us. God picks up the dust of the earth, the dirt, the adama is what it is in Hebrew. Adama is dirt. And God takes that adama and breathes life into it. And this breath is the first sign that we have of God's love for us. Without God's breath, without God's spirit, without God, we are just dirt, dust. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Perhaps you've heard those kind of words. So we give thanks to God for this relationship of giving us life. But here is Adam. Imagine Adam standing there in the garden, and I imagine him standing there not just as an individual character, not just as the first human, but Adam stands there in the garden in the place of all humanity, for each and every one of us, asking important questions that I think many of us ask, especially when we might face major life crises or transitions. Here he is, one individual, one human whose life was breathed into by God, and he's saying, who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? What am I supposed to do with my life? And all of that is answered, both by Adam's name and by the tasks that God gives to him and to all of humanity. God says, till the land. Take care of the plants, name the animals and care for them, eat from the garden and live. And all of this, all of creation is meant first and foremost for relationship. That's our primary task amongst all the other things, all the hustle and bustle of life, all the things that you and I feel like we need to get done. Our primary task is relationship. Our identity in God as creatures made from the earth is about relationship and about loving one another. So it wasn't enough then that humanity should be in relationship only with the earth and its plants and animals. In fact, God even says in the scripture reading, it is not good that man should be alone. And so God creates another human so that there will be this deeper relationship of love and respect created. And then finally, in verse 23, the very last verse that we heard in today's scripture reading, we have a different name in Hebrew used for man. If you go back and you read this entire story starting chapter 2, verse 4b, the second part of 4, every time that man comes up, the Hebrew word is Adam, Adam. But all of a sudden, there's a switch, and this is the unfortunate part that we don't always see in an English translation. All of a sudden, here we have verse 23. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." Now, sometimes people wonder if in certain translations, you'll see up there on the screen, the woman and the man are actually capitalized. And sometimes people wonder about that. Why is that? It is such a strange thing that they're capitalized because they're not people's names. This is just woman and man. But something is happening here. Man was alone. There were only animals and plants, but there was no counterpart, no other creature made from the earth to be in relationship until now. And so now, in Scripture, in this verse, we have a new set of names. Sometimes words that we take for granted as being anonymous, but this set of names is helping us to see how important relationship is to God. Here, it is not just man, but we have a new word in Hebrew. It's just simply ish. That's always a fun word to say. Ish. Ish means man. And then he is given another to be in relationship, and that word is isha. And you can hear just in those words the counterpart, the relationship, ish and isha, man and woman. In fact, we all know what this woman's name is, right? What's this woman's name? Eve. Actually, we don't hear Eve's name until the very end of the next chapter, the end of chapter 3. Her name isn't given. This isn't to make her anonymous. This is to, I think, because of the emphasis of this story of two specific individuals, but on the fact that humans, all humans, whether they're male and female, black or white, rich or poor, or whatever our differences may be, humans are created to be in relationship with one another. Even though we might have different names or different gifts or different personalities, God names us the same, ish and isha, man and woman, or altogether, human. Which in itself comes out of another word of soil, the humus, the rich, dark soil from which life comes. Or better, we are named in the love of Jesus Christ, in the waters of baptism, we are named child of God, God's beloved. And that's the relationship that God wants to have with us. With all creation, with each other, with God. And this relationship is really all of God's purpose for us, shown from the very foundations of creation. But something about this relationship of love, necessitates freedom. God is saying in this creation story, I want you to enjoy creation. Which, in fact, is, as long as we're talking about names, is the very meaning of the word Eden. The Garden of Eden literally means pleasure or delight. God's saying, I want you to enjoy this. God is saying, I want you to enjoy each other, to find love and care and joy in each other no matter who you are. God is saying, I want you to enjoy life in me, who first breathed life into you. These relationships are exactly what it means to be human, to be created. And then there's that freedom part. See, we're not forced into any kind of relationship. That's not the kind of God we have that forces us into relationship, but we're given an opportunity to know love, which can never be coerced. And this love, this freedom to choose to be relationship, I think is symbolized by that strange, kind of awkward little part of this creation story. That tree that stands in the middle of the garden that God says, you can eat from everything in this garden, but not that tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's a little bit of an awkward part of the story because then it always leads us to question, why? What's up with this tree? And isn't humanity wired to desire intelligence, to find knowledge and meaning within the world around us? We try to teach our kids right from wrong. We send them to school to learn. We ourselves struggle to know the difference between good and evil, right and wrong. So why is the knowledge of good and evil off limits? Why is this tree off limits? There are so many stories that try to make sense of this creation story and that make this tree in the middle of the garden sound like God's temptation to us, like God just planted that tree and is just waiting. I'm going to wait, and then I know they're going to do wrong, and I'm going to get them when they do. But I don't think that's the God we have. I don't think that's the God that we hear in Scripture, a God of love who breathes life into us. A God who will go as far as to show this relationship with us, that God, this God would come to earth to live a life to show this love freely given, even though we will put that kind of love to death, even death on a cross. But this tree there in the middle of the garden that God says, off limits, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I think reminds us of what we've heard over and over in every step of this creation story, every name given, that the most important part of the creation is relationship, which is the fruit of the tree of life. And though the knowledge between good and evil can be a good thing, when our quest for knowledge, When our choices to try to know more, or even our decisions to make between right and wrong, when all of those things take a priority over relationships and for caring for each other and loving for each other, when those decisions take a front seat, we have turned our back on God's purpose for us. Choosing between good and evil, right and wrong, is not a bad thing unless it breaks down our relationships, our identity, our love. So what's in a name? Adam, made from the stuff of the earth, shows us that everything we are comes from the earth, with which we are to be in relationship. All of the earth, all of the creatures, all of the plants. And we're given another. Ish and Isha, all of us together, all of those beyond these walls, every person, every man and woman, every Ish and Isha with whom we are to be in relationship of love and care. And all of that comes from the God who first loved us, who breathed life into us, and who desires to be in relationship with us. What's in a name is relationship and love, and a God who chose to first love us. Thanks be to God. Amen.